You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano and the Fantasy Viper Graham Barfield. And, well, it was another one of those just, you know, bonkers. Look, it's why they call this the No Figure League, right? Just when we think we've got it all set up, when we have the process right, the results don't go the way we want.
There's always like two or three weeks during the course of the season that go sideways. This one went sideways and then some.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was unbelievable. I mean, when you talk about a guy who scores four touchdowns and Marvin Jones being started in 33% of NFL.com leagues. When you talk about Kyler Murray, who started in far more, who had one of the better matchups at quarterback and game script just took him completely out of the mix. It was one of those very frustrating games. And speaking of the Cardinals, David Johnson left many fantasy owners in hell yesterday.
Yeah, there's quite a few teams out there that if you put up like 85 or 90 points this week, like
you might have won.
You probably are actually doing reasonably well because there are so many between injuries and just disappointments. It was just an extremely low scoring week.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, we need to have a talk. We just need to have a chat. We'll get to that. We just need to have
it. Would have been nice for him to say before the game what he said after the game.
We need
that David Johnson wasn't going to.
Man, yeah. that was kind of a mess. Mm-hmm. We will wrap up week 7. Last week, I was kind of on a queen thing. Last night, as I was putting this together, I had the Beastie Boys in my head. So as we reek week 7 roundup, we'll give you guys that we think are sure shots. Maybe that should be in your lineup more regularly. Guys who seem to be sabotaged and guys that you have to fight for their right to be in your lineup because who knows. Of course, we'll do the waiver wire as well because, you know, waiver wire. That's that time for you to put in your waiver claims for the week. But before we do all that, I'd say we go behind the glass, but we're actually on stage five today. So we'll just go
to the floor,
slightly over to my right, to sitting on the floor, our faithful producer, senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm sitting like literally at your feet, and the new and beautiful stage five with our own little setup here because it's a busy day here. But yeah, I mean, one of those weekends where, you know, Yankees lost, Giants lost, but I was lucky enough in fantasy is one of those games where the opponent had one guy and it was Alshon Jeffrey who did not do anything, nice. By 2 points. So it's like everything bounces out.
Yeah.
You know, it's the law of averages.
Come on, the fantasy win is the only thing that matters here.
I totally agree. It's the only thing I have left going for me, really. So
I'm looking. I'm not a big hockey person. How are the Rangers doing right now?
They're a young team that's going to have a lot of bumps in the road. So okay. And then the Knicks aren't going to give you much hope either. So.
The Knicks have been irrelevant for a while.
I was trying to find some silver linings for you, but yeah, I guess fantasy is it there.
That's strictly it.
Right. All right. Well, on that point, that note, then let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
The first bit of news that actually just popped up just before we started recording here, Kareem Hunt is eligible to begin practicing again with the Cleveland Browns. He is not eligible to come back onto the field until week 10 as he finishes out his 8-game suspension. Of course, that's 8 games, plus there was a bye thrown in there, so that gives you week 10 for Kareem Hunt's return. And I guess the biggest question, Fabs, and it's one that I'm sure we've all been getting for weeks now, if you have Nick Chubb, are you worried? Are you trying to move him? Or what are you doing with Nick Chubb right now?
I mean, I'm a little bit concerned. We're talking about one of the better running backs in fantasy football since he's been in the league. Of course, that was with the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, the Browns really don't have that number two, a guy who can complement Nick Chubb right now. So you do have some concern about Chubb potentially losing some opportunities as a pass catcher. I would hope they're not going to utilize Kareem Hunt down near the goal line and in the red zone. But you know me, brother. I always am looking for offers. And if someone out there wants to make me an offer that I can't refuse that includes me trading Nick Chubb, I'm open to it.
I think the big problem here for the Browns is not their running game. Nick Chubb is not their problem, and he's averaging 5.3 yards per carry. After averaging an absurd 5.2 last year, they've got to get Baker Mayfield figured out, and if Freddie Kitchens and Todd Monken are smart, they'll keep rolling Nick Chubb. Maybe not as their bell cow because he's playing nearly every snap, but he should be their lead rusher. I mean, Chubb has played over 80% of Brown's snaps in 3 of the past 4 weeks, and I don't think we can necessarily expect that when Hunt does return, but he has been just awesome.
I'll tell you one thing. On the ground. They're not getting Baker Mayfield back this week. Patriots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's not going
to
happen.
At the very least, they have had 10-plus days to theoretically get ready, but on the road in New England, yeah, terrible spot.
Other bit of news that literally just popped up as we were talking right now, both Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter reporting, free agent running back Jay Ajayi is working out for the Arizona Cardinals and taking a physical. According to Rappaport's tweet, the visit, which begins today and stretches into tomorrow, could result in a signing if all goes well. My immediate thought, guys, is David Johnson's injury is a lot worse than we know right now. That's all I can think, right?
The Cardinals and NFL teams are required to come out with pretty, I won't say in-depth injury reports, but at least keep us apprised of injury reports. And it seems like DJ's injury, you know, he dealt with a back issue a few weeks ago and popped up with an ankle the last couple days. I think he's hurting way worse than the Cardinals have let on.
Then why do we have injury reports? I mean, like, honestly, David Johnson was hurt way worse, obviously, than any of us knew. The Cardinals sort of swept it under the rug, and, you know, his participations in practice were limited, and then, boom, now he doesn't play. And now they're potentially signing JJ.
Look, Schefter just said, too, that they're going to work out
Spencer Ware.
So the Cardinals are looking for depth right now.
Yeah, they're looking for depth. You know, obviously, Chase Edmonds was fantastic yesterday. And even in the limited opportunities he's had, I feel like he has performed very well. But they need some depth. DJ Foster was inactive yesterday, so they're looking for some depth. And this really suggests that the situation with David Johnson is a whole lot worse than they were letting on. So if you've got Chase Edmonds, hold tight. If he is out there on the waiver wire, which he is in plenty of leagues,
a lot of leagues,
go find him. Go get him because he looks like he is going to be the running back of record there in Arizona for the foreseeable future. So some I guess important news, definitely big news popping up here on Monday morning. Elsewhere, Drew Brees reportedly plans to return to practice this week for the New Orleans Saints. I know after the game yesterday Sean Payton was sort of mum about it. He really wouldn't say much about it, but the reports are Drew Brees is going to be back as he continues to rehab with a thumb injury there. Teddy Bridgewater has been fine. He's not necessarily a world beater, although he played well against the Bears on Sunday.
He's winning games,
and that's, I mean, for the Saints, that's kind of the important part. But, I mean, Fabs, getting Drew Brees back, it's even better news for Michael Thomas. It's better news for Alvin Kamara when he's healthy and back on the field. I mean, there's just no denying that Brees makes this offense go at a completely different level than Teddy Bridgewater
does. No question about it. And anyone out there who believes, well, Bridgewater should continue to be the starter is out of their mind, because Brees is a Hall of Famer. He's going to be back under center as soon as possible. And you're right, from a fantasy perspective, as good as Bridgewater's been, the pieces around him have been very unreliable, right? I mean, when you're talking about Jared Cook, you know, he's had a couple of games where he scored a touchdown. He's had some other games where he hasn't done much of anything. I mean, Alvin Kamara obviously didn't play this past weekend, but his numbers had been subpar based on his high previous standards. Latavius, what a game he had yesterday. But, yeah, Brees makes everyone better in that offense, both on the field and for fantasy owners.
Michael Thomas, guys, has just been so good without Brees. I mean, he's been phenomenal, 9 for 95.
Just as good.
11, 182 and 2, 8 for 89. And then yesterday he had a fantastic game with 9, 130 and 9, 131.
Almost as if our pal Adam Levitan is listening to us do this right now. He just tweeted as you're talking, Michael Thomas has played 5 full games with Teddy Bridgewater this season. His 16 game pace in those games, 134 catches, 1,763 yards, and 9.6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. So we'll keep an eye on Drew Brees, see what happens, how soon he is able to come back, but it looks like that return is very imminent. So if you held on to him, you're getting close to some relief here. If for whatever crazy reason somebody put him on the waiver wire, go snatch him up. I don't know why they would do that. Other quarterback news, Matt Ryan suffered an ankle injury in the Falcons' blowout loss to the Rams. As somebody who started Matt Ryan in a whole bunch of leagues, when that game got away, as they tend to do for the Falcons this season, I was sort of sitting and waiting for the garbage points to roll in. They never did.
Matt Schaub got there.
Well, then he got hurt.
Matt Schaub got a garbage time touchdown to Austin Hooper, which, hey, you know, keeps Hooper's value up. And then on top of it, so Ryan gets the ankle injury, Graham. And I mean, at that point, it was like 27-3 or whatever it was. There was really no point of the Falcons running him back out there. But now the question is, like, how serious is this? He left in a walking boot on Sunday afterwards. And this really changes the dynamic of the Falcons offense, I would think, if Matt Ryan's not there.
No doubt. And one thing that I'm concerned about is the Falcons play this week against the Seahawks at home, and then they have their bye. You know, with 5 straight losses, this team is 1-6. Their defense obviously can't stop anybody, and their coach is obviously on the hot seat. I'm definitely a little concerned that Matt Ryan won't play this week, and if that happens, then pretty much all of these guys outside of maybe Julio and then Austin Hooper, of course, at tight end, would be unplayable. But, you know, Matt Ryan's been fantastic for fantasy this year, and I think, you know, obviously getting hurt yesterday and the Rams' D-line blowing up their game plan, at least in the first half, really contributed to really his first bad game of the year.
And can we talk about Devonta Freeman? You got to make good choices.
Don't pick fights with Aaron Donald.
Don't throw a punch at Aaron Donald. I mean, not only is that just not smart for your own physical well-being, but then you get tossed out of the game and you cost fantasy.
I'm not sure if that was worthy of being tossed. They were just kind of like locked up there. And
I just more like was marveling at the fact that Aaron Donald literally lifted him off the ground.
I was more marveling that Devonta Freeman, who is not a very tall man, felt that he could bow up to Aaron Donald, who is
probably has
115 pounds on
the human personification of the Incredible Hulk. Like yes. he's a
big man.
Yeah, and like I literally had to like watch. I'm like, did he just get lifted up off the ground? I'm like, yes, he really did. So Matt Ryan being out, that certainly is going to impact a lot of people in that offense. I mean, I guess the good news is Matt Schaub is not, you know, he's not some brand new quarterback who's going to be deer in the headlights. He at least has, you know, been a starter at some point.
I will tell you this though, they're playing Seattle next week. I believe.
Yeah.
I'm streaming the Seahawks defense.
Oh, it's
man. You know why? Because Matt
six,
Schaub's
man.
Middle name. pick six.
King of the pick sixes, man. Yeah. I will never forget when he signed with the Raiders and his first pass in training camp was a pick six. And Twitter lost its collective mind.
Yeah. There was a time there where like he had like two or three games in a row with pick sixes, and it was just like streaming defensive heaven right there.
Oh, it was the worst. Or the best, I guess, depending on your perspective. Yeah. Adam Thielen left Sunday's game for the Vikings with a hamstring injury. The Vikings went on to get a win, so they didn't necessarily miss him. But I guess the upside is he caught a touchdown pass before he left. But now we're keeping an eye on how much this is going to impact him. Look, 3 weeks in a row, the Vikings have had a successful passing game, right? And Thielen had the touchdown yesterday. Stephon Diggs ended up having a couple of big plays. Kirk Cousins has another big day. So, I mean, this Grant feels sort of like a loss now, right? Because the schedule opens up really nicely. They're starting to throw the football. So hopefully Adam Thielen's okay and can come back and play.
It sure does. And unfortunately, the Vikings are on a short week this week. They play on Thursday night. So
revenge game for Kirk Cousins.
Against Washington.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I mean, is there a less boring revenge game than Kirk Cousins against his own team?
Well, Fitzpatrick did pretty well against Buffalo.
But you got the Kirk Cousins angle on one side. You've got the Adrian Peterson on the other side.
Yes! It's the revenge game.
It's the double revenge game here.
That is how we have to sell this thing on Fox and NFL Network. It's the Adrian Peterson versus Kirk Cousins revenge games.
Well, Thielen obviously got you in the box yesterday with the great – that was a fantastic touchdown that he hurt his hamstring on. But Stephon Diggs, guys, this is if Thielen is obviously probably going to miss on Thursday night, this is just another good spot for Diggs to continue maybe turning it around a little bit. 7 for 167 and 3 last week. Obviously had a good game this week as well. And he had a huge play down the middle. Didn't score. But, yeah, Diggs is slowly coming back to life a little bit here.
Yeah. You know, maybe we just need more receivers to go out and complain about their lack of targets in an offense.
I know. Why couldn't we have this all season long, right? Because this whole change in offensive philosophy, Dalvin Cook is still eating.
Yeah.
And the receivers are not putting up good numbers. Hopefully Thielen's okay. Unfortunately, like you guys had mentioned, short week, so that could go against him.
More injury news. Kerryon Johnson had a knee injury in the loss to the Vikings on Sunday. That was one I somehow missed him leaving the game. I just remember looking up and seeing Ty Johnson on the field and getting a whole lot of carries and targets and not really knowing what happened until maybe close to halftime, seeing a report that that he was out of the game. Fabs, it's been a frustrating year, I think, fantasy-wise for Kerryon Johnson. It hasn't been quite the production I think we would have wanted, but, I mean, with the waiver wire being so thin, I don't know, I hope he comes back soon. I mean, do we believe in Ty Johnson as the next man up there in that Detroit offense?
Hey, man, we believe in touches. We believe in volume. And Kerryon Johnson was getting that, you know, heading into this week. He had averaged, 24.5 touches over his previous two games, over 70% in terms of offensive snaps played. So if he's going to miss time, Ty Johnson's probably going to be behind Chase Edmonds, but very close in terms of being the number one and two waiver wire pickups for this week. And we all know how hard it is to come by really good running backs off the waiver wire at this point in the season. So these guys are going to end up being very valuable if the guys ahead of them, both David Johnson and Kerryon Johnson, are going to miss any time due to their injury. So if you haven't blown your fab budget yet, you may end up doing it this week.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me is just so frustrated because Kerryon Johnson is. I was so excited to get him in the third round in so many drafts, and it just hasn't really.
Yeah, that injury yesterday hurt my soul.
It really did.
And I mean, last year the knee injury also finished his rookie season early, so a little bit concerned there.
All right, last bit of news: Will Fuller left the Texans' loss with a hamstring injury, and this just feels sort of like deja vu all over again with Will Fuller, Graham. I mean, we've seen this, it seems like, time and time again. He plays really well. It's just these soft tissue injuries that keep jumping up to bite him. We'll see how long he's out. It definitely hurts him, obviously, not being there. I guess the upside is we can hope that maybe this means some more downfield throws for DeAndre Hopkins, because that was something you and I talked about yesterday.
Right.
They just aren't throwing him downfield. Maybe Will Fuller not being there allows Nuke to be a little bit more of a field stretcher.
Right. It's really interesting to see how they've used these receivers this year. Kenny Stills obviously missed a few games. He came back yesterday. But they kind of use Nuke in more of like a possession role near the line of scrimmage. And like you mentioned, I hope Fuller's injury does open up some of those deep targets for him. But he had just an enormous game yesterday. Was fantastic to see the old new Hopkins. And now next week, or in the next 2 weeks, I should say, he gets Raiders next, and then this Jags secondary without Jalen Ramsey.
The matchups are favorable, so hopefully we'll see if this means some good things for Nuke. We'll also kind of keep an eye on what Will Fuller's situation is and how soon potentially he may be back.
You know, I know DeAndre Hopkins has been frustrating at times this year, but he has five or more catches in every game. He's been consistent. It's just the touchdowns and the big plays haven't necessarily been there, and it seems like they're coming around.
Right, that's the thing. Like that he's on pace for over 100 catches this year. It's just, you know, the one thing I noticed is that yesterday, his air yards per target were over 10, like 10 and a half, I believe it was.
That's where you want it.
Right. In the five games that were driving us crazy, where he wasn't doing much, that number was down about 8.5 or so. So those extra 2 yards on average mean a whole lot of difference in his production. There you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right, week 7 will conclude tonight with the Patriots and the Jetropolitans. I need 15 points from Philip Dorsett. Please, 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 can we make this happen to get a win in one of my leagues? I would love that. That'd be grand. But in the meantime, I broke down some of the big storylines from Sunday in terms of Beastie Boys tunes. And the first one, Sure Shots, right? Guys that we love, guys that we want to put in our lineup every week who maybe had frustrated us, but now hopefully everything's good again. Like, are we cool? So the first one, the big one, is Aaron Rodgers fixed? 43 fantasy points, 6 total touchdowns. I mean, yes, that was even for Aaron Rodgers, that isn't considered a blow-up game. But, Fabs, is this signs maybe that the Packers' offense is starting to come around, or was it just that he played the Raiders yesterday?
Well, more amazingly is that he did it with the talent that he had around him.
Mm-hmm.
No Davante Adams, Geronimo Allison was banged up, MVS went nuts. He missed a lot of practice during the course of the week, and the player we all liked, Alan Lazard, didn't really do much of anything. So kudos to Rodgers. I think it was just one of those games, and Rodgers typically has one of those every once in a while. If you remember last year, he had a huge game against the Jets, moved up, I believe, from QB 16 to QB 9, so you'll take that. Next up, Chiefs. But let's also keep in mind, that Chiefs defense looked really good last week, man. I mean, they're giving up just under 18 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks so far this season. So when you look at that matchup and you think, oh, this is going to be a high-scoring game, maybe not. Especially without Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly right. I mean, no Patrick Mahomes just changes the whole complexion of that game. And if the Packers get ahead, obviously, they won't have to keep their foot on the gas very, very much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs, and we've kind of been saying it the last couple of weeks, they're not the pick-on defense that they used to be. They're actually playing pretty well. And you know, this has the potential, as you mentioned, Graham, if the Packers get ahead, then we can see a steady diet of Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I would think that if you're the Chiefs, you're going to give a steady diet to Damian Williams, LeSean McCoy, because you don't want to put the ball in Matt Moore's hands, you know, 20 to 30 times in
that ball
game.
The craziest thing about this Rodgers performance is he only needed 31 pass attempts to throw for 429 yards, and he had a gain of 20 or more yards to 6 different receivers.
That's nuts.
20 or more yards to 6 different receivers yesterday. So for me, yeah, I think this was more or less just he was just absolutely on fire at home against this Raiders team that just stood no chance.
Yeah, pretty much. So we talked a little bit about this just a minute ago, but Graham, DeAndre Hopkins, he's fixed now, right? Like, we're cool, we're okay.
Yeah.
He's scoring touchdowns again.
You know, I think one of the things I wrote about last week was, like, he had only seen one end zone target all year, which mm-hmm. just seemed like it was just bound to regress, and obviously yesterday he got into the end zone. I think we're good. I think we're all good with Nuke now, and really it had never gotten as bad as maybe as it seemed, because he was still being the same consistent player, just not having any big plays. But we just mentioned his schedule's about to open up, and Will Fuller's absence should open up some more deep targets.
I mean, I think the big frustration was that, you know, the games he was giving you were, you know, 12 points, 15 points, 16 points, 9 points, 7 points. Those were fine if he was like a flex guy, right? Like,
right.
Not the guy you spent a late first round, early second round pick on. And I think that was the frustration here, is that he was not giving you first round returns. And so, you know, coming back with a 25-point game on Sunday makes you feel a little bit better and gives you, you know what? It's sort of like, look, I'm terrible at golf. I don't play golf very often. I'm really bad at it. And when I do, I hit a bunch of really terrible shots. And then what happens is I'm on the verge of giving up. And then I hit one really great shot, and I'm like, hey, let's keep going.
Marcus, you've just described golf,
and then you hit your next shot, you shank it, and you're already pissed off again.
This sucks, man. This is stupid.
It's that one shot every round that keeps you coming back.
I'm like, you know, I hit one good shot. I'm like, hey, this is fun. Let's do this again. And then like the next three like are off to the side, and it's awful, and I don't want to do this anymore. That's I'm hoping that's not the case with Nuke. So anyway, so Fabs, are we back in on Kirk Cousins now? I mean, 3 weeks in a row. He's played well, and as we talked about, the matchups are really good going forward. We talked about the revenge game, the double revenge game coming up this week. I mean, did we maybe write him off too soon, or you know, have the Vikings come to their senses and decided that you do have to have a passing game?
Well, after 4 weeks, Marcus, I mean, he was dreadful.
Yeah,
you're looking at a guy who didn't score more than 14.3 points in his first four games. So when you take a quarter of the season. And you look at the production, you're like, well, this team has gone completely to the run, and Stefanski has basically neutered Cousins statistically. Well, since then, he's been rejuvenated. You know, 20-plus points in three straight games. His fantasy points have increased in three straight games. He's got a revenge game against the Redskins coming up. And then, you know, you've got matchups. Kansas City, as we mentioned, their defense is tougher than I think a lot of people are giving them credit for. You got Dallas, Denver, then you've got to buy Seattle. So a few tough matchups in there, but... Yeah, Kirk Cousins needs to be owned in every league. And he is an absolute QB2 at the very least right now.
I was absolutely wrong about Cousins this week. He came back and he was freaking awesome. I mean, he was so good, especially without Adam Thielen for basically most of that game. I will say, over the past couple weeks, Cousins has thrown, 10 passing touchdowns on 27, 29, and 34 pass attempts. That type of scoring rate is not going to sustain itself, especially in this run-heavy team, run-heavy offense. But we mentioned it, you know, great matchup again with the Redskins this week.
Yeah. So, you know, look, if he's out there, go get him. Go pick him up. Go at him because things are looking up for Kirk Cousins right now. Moving on, the next group of guys are guys who are being sabotaged, which, by the way, may be still the greatest music video in all of history. Go Google it if you've never seen it. And it's not necessarily because the guys around them are playing bad, although in some cases that is the case. But in other cases, like, for instance, with Mark Ingram, right? Lamar Jackson has been just phenomenal the last few weeks. Throwing the football, running the football. And you look at his rushing numbers on top of it, right? He's got week two, he ran for 120 yards. Week five, he had 70 yards. Week six, 152. Yesterday, 116 yards. He really is sort of doing everything, and so that leads me to ask, guys, is he sort of hurting the value of Mark Ingram because he has been so effective running the football this year?
That's a fair question, and they've been rotating their running backs a little bit with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. Not enough, but it's enough to like just take away for Mark Ingram. Over the last couple of weeks, he's basically played 40% of snaps, and week six was at 50% this past week. And I don't know if it's Lamar just being so good because he's so dynamic. It's like, why would you want to give the ball to Mark Ingram when you have Lamar Jackson who could, I mean, he's basically untackleable. But yeah, the rotation is hurting him a little bit. But, you know, the thing with Ingram is we weren't ever expecting him, I don't think, to be a bell cow and, you know, catch a bunch of passes. He has two or more red zone carries in every single game. He has like one of the highest touchdown ceilings in every game. And, you know, even though he's not playing every snap and Lamar Jackson is awesome, he's just, I mean.
To me, I'd buy low on him.
Yeah, there's no running, very few running backs have the touchdown appeal that Ingram has every week.
All right. I mean, I guess that's sort of what's keeping us in, right? And maybe part of the issue was that he was so great the first couple of weeks. I mean, we're both he and Lamar were sort of having huge weeks on the ground. And look, it's not that Mark Ingram has been terrible, that he's fallen off a cliff, but those yardage totals week to week have started to kind of look a little more, well, sort of like they did last year, right, when he was kind of sharing time with Alvin Kamara. And maybe we were sort of fooled into thinking some big things after the first month of the season. Okay, now, things are going bad. Is Melvin Gordon, Fabs, is he hurting Keenan Allen right now? I looked yesterday. The first four games of the season, Keenan Allen had about 12 targets per game. That was sort of skewed. In week four, he didn't see the ball a whole lot, but that's because they ran out to a big lead against the Dolphins. They didn't really need him.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3 weeks since Melvin Gordon has come back, that number's dipped to about 7.5 targets per game. And I feel like it's because they're trying to shoehorn Melvin Gordon back into the offense.
I completely agree. And honestly, this offense was better. And I said it earlier, you know, this offense was better without Melvin Gordon. I mean, it really was. from a fantasy perspective and from a real perspective, the Chargers had Allen getting targeted a ton. Guy was basically a virtual lock to give you at least 80 yards every single game. Austin Eckler was getting the majority of the touches. He was being utilized as a pass catcher. Now, as you mentioned, they're trying to get Gordon involved in the running game, and it just hasn't worked. I mean, it's almost, you know, they kind of threw a wrench in the machine, and it sort of made everything go bonkers. And unfortunately, this is going to be what we're going to have to deal with for the rest of the season, because right. The Chargers are not going to go away from Melvin Gordon. It's just not, it's not going to happen. Maybe they decrease his usage somewhat, but I mean, he's still going to get the goal line opportunities, which he's been getting, and he's still going to be a guy that they're going to be leaning on because of his past success and the fact that, you know, Gordon's a guy who has had a big part in, to do with the success of this offense over the last two or three years. So it's just all bad right now. It's all bad in Los Angeles from a Chargers perspective.
Yeah, Keenan got 11 targets yesterday, had 4 for 61. So a solid game for him. But Melvin Gordon, guys, it's basically every play that he's, every touch that he's had so far has been negative for his team. He's got 36 carries on the season so far, and his longest gain has gone 7 yards. I mean, I just, right now, the Chargers, every play that goes to Melvin Gordon is a loss for them because they have so much other talent on their offense. The ball needs to be going to other places.
Melvin Gordon has 115 scrimmage yards since he's been back. Austin Eckler had 118 receiving yards alone in week 7. And you're right.
Eckler was screwed out of a touchdown yesterday, too.
Yeah.
That looked really, really close.
Yeah, he definitely was. But, you know, but you figure with, as they're trying to integrate Melvin Gordon back into this offense, that is opportunities that aren't going to Eckler, going to Keenan Allen, going to Hunter Henry, which for a team that's now 2-5 and very quickly spiraling out of playoff relevance, you just wonder how much longer they're going to try and keep, you know, square pegging this thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Melvin Gordon, too, is like he's been a great receiver in his career. He's been a very consistent receiver, but he has 13 targets this year, and they've gone for 34 yards. So, you know, not only is he struggling on the ground as a rusher, he's really struggling, too, as a receiver, which is just, I mean, it's a huge concern for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Last one. This seems like an easy one, though. Is Mitchell Trubisky just hurting the Bears' fantasy value in general? I mean, look, Allen Robinson's getting garbage time touchdowns. That's cool. Tariq Cohen is sort of hoovering up useless targets. He had 12 targets, caught 9 of them for 19 yards. And you know how I feel about PPR. Like, this was like, you know, exhibit A, why it frustrates me. But, I mean, look, it's awful.
I'm starting to think the 5'6 guy who's 160 pounds probably shouldn't be getting 12 targets in an NFL football game.
I mean, but when you have a quarterback that literally is just kind of like, basically panic throwing the football. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens, right?
The Bears yesterday, their offensive game plan, I mean, coming out of the bye, right? They let Mitchell Trubisky throw, and I get it. They, you know, they got behind against the Saints, whatever. Saints have a good run defense too, but they let Trubisky throw the ball over 50 times. David Montgomery had it. 2 carries. 2. That's it.
Yeah, and like that's the other part I don't understand.
The Bears, look, you haven't been able to run the ball all year. David Montgomery's definitely been disappointing. He's not been efficient. But you can't expect Mitchell Trubisky to throw the ball over 50 times and you win football. I mean, it's just insane.
The other part of that is that it's not as though the Saints ran out and hid in that game.
No. I mean,
the final score, like, they ran off a string of points, especially in the second half. But that game was fairly close through most of the first half.
It was close on the scoreboard, but the Saints absolutely manhandled the Bears on both sides of the ball. I thought their defense was fantastic once again. And Trubisky's just proving himself that he's not even just a guy. He's really holding this offense back. He's not even basically orchestrating the thing. He's kind of dead weight right now.
Yeah, and let's talk about, Marcus had mentioned how, you know, this week was unpredictable, and you know, I mentioned that it had gone sideways. The Bears as a team have gone sideways. The two of the teams that people expected to compete in their respective conferences were the Browns and the Bears, and neither one of those teams is any good. The Bears' defense the last 2 weeks has gotten crushed by running backs. Latavius Murray made them look awful yesterday, and then in London, Josh Jacobs went nuts against them. So from a fantasy landscape scenario, you don't fear this rushing defense anymore. And they've got, I believe, the Chargers coming up next, so that's a whole different story because we've been talking about Melvin Gordon. But, you know, we mentioned how the Chiefs' defense is actually like pretty good against wide receivers. The Bears' defense has actually been really bad against running backs the last couple of weeks, and things change from year to year. And these two teams in particular are a glaring example of that. And then let's also not, you know, not forget that the Colts, who don't have Andrew Luck anymore, are currently leading the AFC South.
Yeah, which actually leads me perfectly into our final category here, the guys who fight for your right to fight for their right to be on your roster or to be in your starting lineup. So you mentioned that. The Bears the last 2 weeks, I believe between Jacobs and Murray, a combined 242 rushing yards and four touchdowns they've scored against the Bears' defense. The one thing I did notice was sort of going through Pro Football Focus and looking at run concepts and that sort of thing. The teams that have had some success on the ground against the Bears have gone very heavy outside zone. That's what the Raiders did. The Saints did that yesterday a little bit. And I think some of it is just like, let's just run right at Khalil Mack and see if we can sort of neutralize him that way. And I think that has helped a little bit. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, start all your running backs against the Bears, because I think that would be foolish. But it does bring up, Graham, I mean, the issue of, okay, so these last 2 weeks or last two games, people have run on the Bears. Now we have Melvin Gordon, who we just talked about being stuck in neutral right now. Yeah. Do we feel confident enough that Melvin Gordon can – I mean, I don't know that I would do it. I don't know that I'm brave enough to do that.
You can't start Melvin Gordon this week. I know, obviously, the Raiders had some success with outside zone. The Saints did too. But Dalvin Cook and the Vikings, they run a ton of outside zone. And, you know, Dalvin Cook really struggled, got in the end zone in that game. I think the Bears probably will get their run defense right. But you mentioned it, man. You can't play Melvin Gordon this week. I mean, you could play Eckler because of his usage in the passing game, because Eckler is awesome. And you feel comfortable if he gets 10 to 12 touches, he's actually going to do something on them. You can't feel that way about Melvin Gordon right now.
I mean, like, I looked at those last, and I in my weekly Tired Wired column, where I just sort of like look at things that, you know, maybe try this. I really thought, like, maybe you give Latavius Murray a shot. Maybe Sean Payton will look at what the Raiders did and try to do something similar. And it worked out. I don't have that same level of confidence in the Charger offense. I just don't. So I feel like we sort of answered this at the beginning, but I'll ask it again, Fabs. Chase Edmonds, he's got standalone value right now, right? Now that David Johnson potentially is, who knows?
I mean, with the news about Jay Ajayi, I mean, you could be looking at a potential top 10 back the rest of the way, or at least as long as David Johnson is going to miss time, assuming that's the case, because we're just reading the tea leaves here. But, I mean, that performance, that's going to go down as one of the most wasted great performances of the season. Right? Because none of us knew that David Johnson was going to end up being on the sidelines. So the people who started Chase Edmonds were starting him out of desperation as a flex starter because they had a player on a bye week, whatever the case may be. You have injuries. You say, hey, this guy is getting touches. We'll throw him in there. And boom, three touchdowns later, you could end up having a top tier back if David Johnson is going to miss any games.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, having, you know, obviously there's a lot of great running backs on by last week. McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, James Conner, to name a few. And then you put in Chase Edmonds. It's just like, oh, he's going to get the ball a few times. And he ends up just having one of the best games. Best games of the season.
Yeah.
One thing real quick. The Cardinals have a late bye this year.
Week 12, I believe it is.
Yeah, it's week 12. If DJ's not going to get any rest, and obviously he was used, and I'm quoting Cliff Kingsbury, is like, what did he say? Is an as-needed basis. Maybe they were just giving him the week off to kind of, like, you know, get him right for this, you know, month-long stretch run of having a late bye. Edmonds, man, it looks like, I mean, if he's going to be their lead guy with DJ banged up, he's definitely a top 15 back every single week, because the Cardinals just have such a great offense that's so conducive to rushing.
Yeah, I mean, we saw so many RPOs yesterday that were so successful with them.
He went to Fordham, Chase Edmonds. How many guys have you been starting on your fantasy team that have been Fordham alums?
The Fordham Rams, I believe they are.
Yes, yes. That school is in the Bronx.
It is. One of their most famous alums is Vin Scully.
Oh, nice.
Fun fact.
Where our Yankees are now residing for the rest of the offseason.
Hey, by the way, shout out to CC Sabathia.
Yes.
He and I are from the same hometown. So shout out to him on what has been a great career. Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Hall of Famer?
No doubt.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Cool.
CC just played for so long. He was so dominant, for so good.
Ever.
He was even good the past couple years. I mean, he got people out consistently.
By the way, he also was a power forward on a high school basketball team that went to a state championship game. Hmm. Lost in the state championship game, but it was a big part of it. Okay, that's enough of that. It's a time to sell high on Marvin Jones. Obviously, the four-touchdown day, you're not going to get any better than that out of really, you know, out of a lot of guys, but especially out of Marvin Jones, especially on a day when Kenny Golladay only gets two targets. Do you sell high on him now, or do you wait until after this week's game against the New York Giants and think that, you know, get maybe one last hurrah with Marvin Jones and then try to move him?
I'd be trying to sell on him right now. you got the Giants, you got Raiders, Bears, Cowboys, Redskins. I'd be trying to sell. I mean, he's had one other really strong game this season. That was it. That was back in week three against the Eagles, who are obviously awful against wide receivers. So, yeah, I'd be trying to sell him right now.
I think one of the biggest things here is, like, you know, it's just such a weird game sometimes. The NFL is so weird. Matthew Stafford throws it 45 times, 45 freaking times. Golladay gets two targets. And coming into this game, Golladay was by far had the better role than Marvin Jones. Coming in, he saw 26% of the team's targets. Jones was down at 17%. Golladay had more air yards. And, of course, Marvin Jones just goes absolutely ham. One thing I learned, and we've been learning, I think, over the past couple of weeks, is Xavier Rhodes is not the same player he was.
No, that's for sure.
This Vikings defense is beatable. They are very, very beatable through the air.
Yep, which means you can get Mr. McLaurin back into your starting lineups.
Which is weird. You never would have thought that.
Assuming that, you know, there's not another, you know, monsoon.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, that didn't help.
So...
That didn't help at all.
I was shocked to see the field conditions at FedEx Field were not good yesterday.
That never happens.
Weird.
That never happens.
I want to see where that game is. Hopefully it's not in Washington.
Yeah. Well,
let's see. It's in Minnesota, so there will be no monsoon unless there's a major catastrophe.
Flood.
Yes.
Unless there's a flood inside the stadium.
I mean,
McLaurin was a good fade, though, this past week.
I mean, I feel like we all sort of saw that. That was one of the few things that I feel like we saw coming that actually kind of worked out.
It did, right? Yeah. Not much did. That one was actually, that was a good one.
Not only did Niners defense just absolutely have another awesome game, but the rain there just was...
Shut everything
huge
down.
Catalyst. Case Keenum threw the ball 12 times this week.
Everyone was starting Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman got the majority of the touches in that backfield, but couldn't do much slopping around in that quagmire, right? And then you've also got Jimmy Garoppolo, who a lot of people started as a streamer.
I will say, I feel like it'd be extremely fun to play in those types of conditions. Like Nick Bosa and all those guys, like they seem like they're having a great time sliding around and...
Yeah, apparently the Washington home broadcast took offense to Nick Bosa sliding after the sack that ended the game. I'm like, really?
Get over yourself.
They pretty much kicked your butt. Like, you know,
you're the Redskins. You're not that good.
Like, that's the thing that's what made not how the franchise has been mismanaged over two decades or anything like that, or how this team is really just bottom of the barrel awful. It was Nick Bosa sliding across your field. That's what set you off. Mm. Yeah, get over it. Waiver wire time. There are a lot of names that are worthwhile on the waiver wire this week, because we talked about so many injuries, so it's like a lot of guys to keep an eye on. Chase Edmonds, obviously top of the list, especially if this David Johnson thing turns out to be more serious than we originally anticipated. Ty Johnson, you're keeping an eye on what happens with Kerryon Johnson. Yep. So many guys named Johnson who are injured right now.
Johnson and Johnson and Johnson.
And Johnson, I know, right? So keep an eye on Ty Johnson. He potentially has some value this week. Mark Walton, who... It's his backfield now there in Miami. He outsnapped Kenyon Drake yesterday. He had a decent day on the ground.
I'm just laughing because we debated, like, should you draft Kalen Ballage? Kenyon Drake, is he worth a seventh round pick?
And now we're talking about Mark Walton.
Ends up being Mark Walton, who got arrested and cut from the Bengals, and now he's their lead runner.
I mean, arrested and cut from the Bengals. Yeah. Like, that's a little odd, because how many guys over the years have been arrested as part of that roster and stayed there?
Man, so Mark Walton, it is his backfield there in Miami for the foreseeable future. Speaking of guys in Miami, look, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams have been very quietly playing some good football. Devontae Parker has touchdowns in three straight games. You know, Preston Williams is getting a whole lot of targets there. And look, as much, Graham, you and I talked about this yesterday, as much as we like Josh Rosen as a player, this offense is just better with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. It does not bode well for Rosen. I mean, I was a Rosen fan coming out. I've tried to stand for him because I just think he's gotten a completely raw deal with last year obviously being the Cardinals and this year with the Dolphins. But definitely does not bode well that Ryan Fitzpatrick comes out and immediately gives this offense a lift.
I know. I mean, it's from a fantasy standpoint, it's the older guys that we want. You know, we want Case Keenum in there because of the Terry McLaurin thing. We want Ryan Fitzpatrick in there because he's going to be throwing the football to Parker and he's going to make mistakes and turnovers, but from a statistical perspective, those are the guys we want. And it's the same thing in Tennessee, and I'll move on to Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. We want Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, because it not only is going to improve the value of what they do in the passing game, but that trickle-down effect, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, two guys that you should be looking to pick up off the waiver wire. I picked up Davis in one of my leagues, just I had a gut feeling, and it ended up panning out. He had over 20 fantasy points. So those, Jonnu Smith,
yeah.
Right? Delanie Walker's
Delanie
banged
Walker's
up.
Hurt, yeah.
So Jonnu Smith is another guy. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, we want those backup quarterbacks or the older veteran guys to be the placeholders in those on those teams, because for our purposes, they make the players around them statistically better.
I mean, the thing about Tannehill is that he at least is willing to take shots downfield, which is something Marcus Mariota just would not do.
On that touchdown, I think it was to Corey Davis, it was a pretty tight window, and Marcus Mariota would have never in a million years
never tried
that pass.
Never would have tried that. So at least Ryan Tannehill gives us a little bit of hope there. Jamal Williams, still out there. I think he's only owned on NFL.com in like 18% of leagues. Something really, really
low.
Yeah,
very low,
like
very low.
He's getting snaps. He's getting touches. He's getting into the end zone, folks. So, you know, look, Aaron Jones is still doing good things, not even being a workhorse. Both these guys should be on rosters, and I think in certain situations, both these guys are startable right now. Mm-hmm. Kenny Stills is back and healthy, and again, with Will Fuller out, and you know, we'll see how long he's out if this hamstring injury lingers. Kenny Stills kind of becomes the deep threat in that offense, and you talk about guys willing to take shots downfield. Deshaun Watson will throw the ball downfield there. The Steelers' defense, because they got the Dolphins next
week.
And
you can pick them up right now.
Yep, you go get
them right
now. Right
now,
because they're on a bye.
Ooh, good call.
Yep. Steelers defense going against Miami next
go do
week.
That in a few weeks.
Which, by the way, makes me at least you know hopeful that Juju can do something next week, because you know Mason Rudolph
should
hopefully
back,
is back.
Yeah.
They're playing the Dolphins, so hopefully Juju will have some rebound value. Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris Herndon, we're gonna try this again.
we're gonna try it again.
I've been laughing in my head about this one. It's like we're gonna get to week 12. Chris Herndon still a waiver wire target.
Hey, yeah. We're gonna try it again.
He's getting closer. He's getting closer to playing.
Yeah.
So Marcus, I'm surprised you didn't notice this. It's Back to the Future Day.
Oh, it is Back to the Future Day,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh my God!
It's 10/21.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
How about that? 2015. No hoverboards still.
No.
We got those ones.
Where
on
are
the
my
wheels.
Hoverboards?
We got the ones on the wheels. But yeah. They don't actually, you know.
They don't actually hover. Which
right,
I,
they don't
we
hover.
Need a new name for those, because they're not actually hoverboards.
Right. The single wheel one or the two wheel one?
The two wheel ones.
Okay.
I've seen the single wheel ones too.
Yeah.
But either way, they're not
hoverable. They don't hover. No. Right. They don't hover.
They don't actually hover.
Right. And you also can't put like a little pizza in a Black & Decker machine and it becomes a whole big pizza that's cooked.
No. No, you can't do that.
Come
either.
On, technology. Get
I mean,
with the program.
Look, man, the Jetsons promised us flying cars like 50 years ago and we still don't have those.
That
so.
Turn into wallets.
Yeah, I know, right? Man. Come on, scientists. Get it together.
But happy Back to the Future
happy
Day,
back
man.
To the
One
future
of the
day.
Best movies that's ever been made.
By the way, if you ever, like, I mean, for those of us who live around here, the Twin Pines Mall is just off the 60 freeway in Hacienda Heights.
And the McFly residence is also somewhere close to us as well.
There is no photo mat in the parking lot, which I don't think anybody under the age of 30 knows what a photo mat is anymore.
No clue.
So I know we're getting off track
what?
Here. Whatever. The podcast's almost over. A photo mat is a place that when people still had actual cameras with actual film in them, you would take it to what is basically a hut in a parking lot, usually in a mall or a strip mall or something like that, and you would just drive up to this little hut and you would hand your film to the person in the hut.
Yep.
And then, like, you'd come back several days later, and your photos would be developed.
Yeah,
because they said drive. It was just a drive-through for photo developing.
I know you're you know, you're more of a recent, you know, you're a millennial, you're
I'm
a younger
the
guy.
M-word.
But yeah,
M-word.
Marcus, I remember distinctly that there was one of those in a Caldor parking lot. A lot of people don't even know what Caldor is.
I
remember
don't know what Caldor is.
Caldor!
I don't think they had it out here.
Really? Is that right? Do you remember? No, you're young. Yeah, Caldor is like Bradley's. And no?
No.
It's like there's a Bradley's like a pharmacy? Either?
No.
No, they're like, well, they used to be, that's like Target, basically.
Oh,
like
yeah. That might have been a regional thing.
Kmart,
I don't think we had
it was
that.
Kmart.
Right.
In Connecticut, it was Kmart, you had Caldor, and then you had Bradley's. No?
No. Yeah, I think those are regional. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know any of those either, but
I'm really old. Look,
I do know when I'd go and get film developed, like when I was a kid or I'd be with my mom or something, we'd always go to like Walgreens or like one of those pharmacies that are just, you know, the major chains. You can still do that.
You can still
but
do
I
that.
I never heard of a photo.
You could still do that at like at Rite Aid and CVS or whatever. But yeah, no, like PhotoMat was basically just took that part of the Rite Aid and just put it in a hut in the parking lot, and you just drove up and handed your film.
Caldor had this ugly rainbow-looking thing. It was like brown, orange, and yellow.
Totally not familiar with that.
Yep, that's
not at all.
Uh-huh.
So. All right. Well, that was a fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah, it was.
So there you go. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you downloading and listening as always. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, with great power comes a great electric bill. We'll see you on Wednesday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.